Good morning. Pretty day, a good day. As I tell people, every morning I get up, it's another good day. First thing, we've got one typo there. On the doctology, the 606 is in the red book. In the brown book, it's page 39. So you can use whichever book you want to use. Few announcements. September the 8th. That's when we start back regular Sunday school. That will be your rally day. So that Sunday, let's make a special effort to be here in Philippi Sunday school classrooms rather than look and see them five or six. Let's fill them up. Maybe we'll have to go get some more chairs. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Next Sunday is the big Sunday. We get to eat all we want. So don't forget, next Sunday is homecoming. Plan to be here. Bring your friends, your relatives. Come and enjoy it. And let's have a good time and just enjoy the fellowship out on the lawn. I'm sure there'll be plenty of food here for everybody. So don't forget, next Sunday will be our homecoming. Ladies, sign up today in the North X for the Presbyterian Women's Retreat, September the 14th, 2019. Where's Petey? Is there anything else, Petey? Okay. Has anybody else got any announcements?
I do.
Okay.
Wednesday, we resume our adult choir rehearsals, Wednesday at 6:30. I know some of you have been thinking about it. Some of you, I've been really pushing you to get in the adult choir. So you're welcome. You don't have to be a music reader. You don't have to be a graduate of Chapel Hill to be in our choir. We just have a lot of fun praising the Lord and singing His word. Also, we'll begin Wednesday at 6 o'clock. We'll have our string trio begin. And also our youth, which is middle school and high school ages. And we'll begin, we'll have a great season this year. So if you have a young person, or if you are a young person in middle school or high school, I invite you, and we have a great time too. God bless.
I can vouch for that, because he's got me in there.
Oh, yeah.
And I can't even hardly read the book, much less sing. So come on and join us. It's just a lot of fun. Charles is a super guy, and he makes choir just a fun time. So come join the choir. If that's it, anybody else got anything? If not, Luke.
Luke, buddy.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust.
Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence.
He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your anchor.
You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day.
Nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys.
Thank you.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we are sinners, God died for us. Because we have faith in Christ, we can approach God with confidence that we will receive His grace. Admitting our sins, I am a sinner, O God, and I need to count my blessings each day and thank you for the good gifts and every perfect gift from above. You created the world for our benefit. You answered our prayers, so we often do not take time to thank you, O God's people. In Jesus' name, amen.
The waters of baptism are to show us that what we have gotten through Jesus Christ and through the baptism and through His death, that we can be free. We now read together, say what we believe, the affirmation of faith that's in our bulletin. We believe that the reconciling work of Jesus was a supreme crisis in the life of humankind. His cross and resurrection become personal crisis and present hope when the gospel is proclaimed and believed. In this experience, the Spirit brings God's forgiveness to us, moves us to respond in faith, repentance, and obedience, and initiates the new life in Christ. We believe that the new life takes shape in a community in which we know that God loves and accepts us in spite of what we are. We therefore accept our love and love others, knowing that no one has any ground on which to stand except God's grace. Time to say hello to our neighbors. Share shalom. Thank you. Good morning.
Peace. Thanks for getting that working, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What's that, man?
We're taking out the people.
We're going to sing next year.
What day is Monday?
Yeah.
This Old Testament scripture is Psalm 37, verses 3 through 8. You can find it on page 552 in the Pew Bible. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
All right, good morning. All right, so today, Luke did such a good job with reading that big word, pestilence, but we're talking about another big word today, and that word is adversity. Yeah, does anyone think they know what that word means, adversity? No? Okay, so we'll talk about it. So what's a problem, Riley, that you have to solve? What's a chore that you have to do? Clean your room. That's a good one. Who else has a chore that they do? Luke.
Wash the windows.
Wash the windows. Okay. Well, some people do that. Someone at your house probably does. One time he did it. Okay. All right. So, Riley, if while you were cleaning your room, I came in there and I started throwing trash, would that make it easier or harder?
Harder.
Okay. Luke, if while you were washing the windows, I was throwing dirt on them, would that make it easier or harder? I probably deserve it too. But adversity is when you're trying to solve a problem and there's a lot of pushback and something's making it a lot harder to solve that problem, right? That's what adversity means. Now, I want to read, let's see. Okay, raise your hand if you know any other languages. Do you know any words in other languages? Yeah, Luke, what word do you know?
I know a song.
You know a song? Okay. What language is it in? Tell me what language it's in.
Swahili.
Swahili, a good one, okay. A couple words in Spanish. All right, raise your hand if you know any Latin. Yeah, I know. Nobody really speaks any Latin anymore. But the word adversity comes from a word in Latin that kind of sounds like adventure. And it comes from the same root word, and it means to turn towards. And that's really what God asks us to do. When we see these problems, when we are struggling with adversity, God's asking us to turn towards those problems. Don't turn away, but turn towards those problems and go solve them and go do all the hard work that it's going to take to solve those problems. Yes, Luke. Yeah.
And so we were about to go to Chick-fil-A, so we got her a sandwich.
Awesome. Yeah. Homelessness is a big problem, and some of it's really easy to turn away and not have to deal with it because we are all blessed to have homes. But instead, God calls us to turn towards that problem and face that adversity and help those people when we can. Definitely. Yeah, Luke.
And
yeah.
And so my mom told us she told the homeless woman to write down a piece of paper and put it in Sissy's love box.
Yeah.
And she'll get it.
Definitely, yeah. So again, God calls us not to turn away from these big problems, even though they seem really big and we can't do too much. God calls us to turn towards them and do the little things that we can do to help out on these big problems, okay? Will you pray with me? Yeah, I got it, guys. Don't worry about it. I got it. Thank you. All right. Will you pray with me? Dear God,
help us
when the problem seems really big. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, so we don't have children's church today, so you can go back to the nursery or you can sit with your parents.
We'll be reading God's Word. We'll be reading Luke 12, 28 through 32. It's on page 1031 in your pew Bible. Jesus is talking to the disciples, explaining some of the ways that God takes care of everything that we kind of take for granted each day. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown in a fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please pray with me. Lord, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this congregation. Thank you for the plan you have laid out for us. And we pray for our faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Good morning. I hope everyone's doing well this morning. When I was asked to do this, the first thing I thought, it must be pretty slim pickings out there to ask a dentist to preach to the congregation. There's going to be no references to flossing, toothbrushes, or anything of the sort. I promise that. But I was pretty excited because I get to share with you all what Psalm 37 has done for me. For me, it's a very profound message, and that's what we're going to talk about today. I first read Psalm 37 when I was 13 years old. And I remember it pretty specifically because I was in the middle of the woods. It was about 2 in the morning, and I was in front of a fire. And to give you some context, every summer for years, my parents' vacation was dropping myself and my two brothers off at church camp in Black Mountain, North Carolina for 4 weeks. And this camp had a structure kind of like the Boy Scouts, where you would basically move up the rankings. And the highest rank that we all wanted to achieve involved being nominated, for lack of a better term, and you would be pulled from your bunk in the middle of the night, given your Bible and 2 matches, and in order to achieve this, and you were put on 24-hour silence ban. If I ever figure out how they got a teenager not to say anything for 24 hours, I will happily share it with everyone in the room. But the goal being, you got the fire going, you had it kept running all night, you watched sunrise as a group, and then the first words you said after 24 hours was a Bible verse that you memorized. And for me, it was Psalm 37, verse 3. This verse ended up being kind of my silver bullet throughout life. It was something I've always been able to lean on in challenging situations. Man, I thought I'd make it at least 10 minutes in. Important test, deaths in my family, clutch at bats while playing college baseball, dental national boards, asking my wife to marry me. I said it many times that day. And I never really understood how powerful it was till 24 months ago when Amy and I were sitting across from our adoption agency saying our adoption's being challenged and the odds aren't in our favor. We're going to revisit that in a moment. To really understand the context of this psalm, you have to dive into when and how it was written. It was written in year 1000 BC by King David. And at this point, David's an old man, and he has the life experience to impart wisdom upon the reader. With that being said, this is what's classified as a wisdom psalm. The point of these lyrics is to talk about faith when it seems evil is prospering. Now, his perspective is pretty good. You probably recall the story of David versus Goliath. And with that being said, in my opinion, evil can manifest as many things. It can be a specific person, event, challenge, or thing. What David is telling us in Psalm 37 is that faith in the Lord will overcome any situation, and that delighting in the Lord will enable us to inherit the land. Now, a synopsis of this statement is used quite a bit in modern evangelism. Believe in God and all your dreams will come true. You can turn on the TV Sunday morning and various channels. You can see large auditoriums with men in expensive suits talking about believing in God, and the money will start to fall from trees, your promotion is tomorrow, and so on. Now, I can't argue the evangelism, and I don't want to talk poorly about reaching out to God, because I think that's important. But I think there's a lot more to this idea that gets left out that is expounded upon in Psalm 37, and there's two things specifically. Number one, God is in control. He has control over everything. And two, those who have unwavering faith in the Lord will inherit the land. Now, Psalm 37 tells us God has control of the situation. That doesn't mean he's managing the situation. It means he has a plan. And the plan is the right plan. It's the right plan for us. And it's the right plan for us regardless of the outcomes we might hope for. Psalm 37 also references the land more than once. Now, this analogy is much more important or much more profound in 1000 B.C. than it is now, so I'm going to try to bring this home for y'all. Back then, the land was everything. There was nothing more profound or could be offered than the land. And what this is telling us is that he's referencing to eternal life. He's referencing to forever. So all that is evil, all that is unchallenging, is short-lived. And with our faith in God, we will inherit the land. We will have eternal life. As we maintain our faith and delight in the Lord, whatever is unchallenging will pass. And it will pass in such a way that executes God's plan, the right plan. Evil will not prosper forever, but those who have faith will. So in my opinion, the gift that this psalm brings is how we look at these challenges, how we pray for these challenges. The challenges we face are part of the right plan, part of the right plan for us. They are important pieces of the journey God has laid out for us, and we must have faith in these challenges. We must pray for God's plan. So whatever our challenges might be, injury, sickness, if we've lost a job, challenges in our relationship, leaving a toxic relationship, starting a business, a church in transition, or a challenge to the adoption of your child. I believe, based on what David tells us, the faith in adversity is the prayer. Prayer to get through the given situation, but also praying for the given situation. Acknowledging that whatever the outcome is, it is part of the perfect plan that God has laid out for us. Once we accept that the plan is the right plan, my promise to you is a calm will come over you. This is the silver bullet I was talking about. We must trust in the Lord. We must lift the situation to God, and we must pray for his plan because it is the right plan. And we ask for a shift towards the outcome we hope for. We pray constantly, we pray shamelessly, and we pray with faith that evil will not prosper and we will inherit the land. With that being said, I'd really like to tell you a brief story of what I feel unwavering faith looks like. Those of you who know me, you've heard me talk about my brothers, and I'm going to talk about one of my brother David, ironically, that's his name. He's a decorated major in the Army, and through multiple tours, he's spent well over 5 years, maybe even six at this point, in Iraq and Afghanistan. He was part of the Sadr City battles in 2008, which was considered, as I've read, the heaviest combat of the war. Now, to talk a little bit about David, unlike his brothers, he's not big and he's big. He's much bigger than me, actually, but he's not one to be very boisterous, okay? So when he says something, it's usually very succinct and very profound. When Dave got back from one of his heavier tours and or missions, he's an airborne ranger, I asked him to tell me a little bit about his combat experience. I didn't expect an answer, because usually he's not allowed to. So I asked him, what is this like? And he kind of paused for a few minutes, and he said, it's kind of like those few minutes after you lose your wallet. Just absolute panic. And it lasts the duration of the battle. And I asked, you know, and I think of times I've lost my wallet, or, but you can imagine there's that. I thought that was a pretty interesting way to describe it. And I asked him, is there anything else you can tell me about it? He's like, yes, there are no bathroom breaks. So I asked him, how do you manage your way through this thing? He's like, you're 100% confident in your training and your plan. I feel that's what faith should look like, and what faith in challenging situations can be taken on. Even though our emotions might be running on absolute panic, we can take solace in our faith that is part of the right plan God has laid out for us, that He will get us through this, and that we will inherit the land. Evil will not prosper. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on His faithfulness. Amen.
To follow up just briefly on what a comment that Joe made, I've had the pleasure of being part of the men of the church, and one of our tasks occasionally is to lock and unlock the facility over the weekend. And one thing that impresses me is that walking through and locking up and unlocking, you discover that this is just a shell, that the important part that makes up this church is the body. It's the people. And without the people, it's not a church. Are there concerns or joys that we need to address this morning? Larry Rupp. Connie Stroop. Yes, ma'am. Got a new puppy. All right. Very good. Yes. Great. Now let us go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, please hear our petition to consider, care for, and be with those mentioned this morning, and all those who are silently in our hearts. Thank you, loving Father, for the God-breathed Word of God. Teach us, convict us, correct us, and continually train us through the living, powerful, inspired scriptures, that we may be equipped to carry out the work that you have ordained for all of us to do. And may it be to your praise and glory in Jesus, who also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I'm not preaching. Yeah. Good morning. I have the honor to present this year's presentation of the Man of the Year Award chosen by the men of Cooks. I would say last year I was overwhelmed by this award so much so I couldn't speak. I do want you to know that I cherish it and always will. But none of the hours long, so I'll keep it short. The man we chose, they chose this year, it's the fifth generation. His family is in Charlotte, and he is the third of four boys raised as Presbyterians. In fact, when he decided to join his church, he slipped in here one Sunday. He thought his wife wasn't going to be here, and she snuck back and caught him. He ought to have known, as I know her, he could have never got anything by her, so he's wasted his time there. But he spent a lot of hours in different services in his church and a lot in maintenance. He's a little bit stubborn sometimes, but his stubbornness has saved us a lot of money, so for that, we're thankful. I work beside him outside this church in another wonderful organization, and he is a vital member of the Shrine for 25 years with the Shrine Bowl. And he is a retired fireman, if firemen ever retire. I don't think they do, but anyway, when he was young, he was a hay boy for Belts, and he drove a school bus. And now he plays softball and will till his joints give out, but what I understand, he's pretty close there. So anyway, but most of all, he loves his wife and his two beautiful children. This year's award goes to Mike Stanford. Hope you did better than I did last year.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is an honor, Corky, that you present this to me because I've known you for years. I think I've known you before I even became a member of this church, and I've always looked up and appreciated you, and I know my dad thought highly of you too. This award I accept on behalf of all the men of the church. If it wasn't for this group of men we work with, we wouldn't have a lot of stuff we have in this church, and it's an honor to work with them. I know... during the slideshow, there was a couple pictures of Cheryl popped in. And I thought, well, why would Cheryl be in the men's slideshow? And I realized it's probably Cheryl calling me or Dale or one of the men to ask us to come and fix a toilet or pick up something. So she's just a part of the men's group in that behalf, too. So on behalf of myself, my wife, my daughters, I appreciate this.
Let us present our tithes and offerings.
Somewhere morning when the sun is over, I'll find.
number 39. Lord, use these material offerings to bring the gospel of your realm to all people everywhere. For this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Amen.
Mike, I'll clear up a little bit more for you while Cheryl was in there. The men sponsor and pay for the call tree. Rather than her having to make 100 different calls, that's the reason you have the call tree, is on the account of the men of the church. That's why our preacher was in there. Joe, You know, maybe you got a second profession. You know? Dennis does a pretty good job behind the pulpit. Folks, I'm like Mike says, and I put all the others in this group, it's always a privilege to work with these men. A lot of times they don't get the credit that they need. They don't run out here and boast and brag about what they do. They do a lot of time in secret, but people never know it. There's lots of things goes on of these men in this church that nobody never knows. So it's a good group, and I'm very proud to say I can be a little bit part in it. Without any more, let's go to God. And this next week, remember what Joe had to say about facing problems. I looked up the definition, Joe, and what I got was for kids to think when things aren't going well. Lord, as we leave this building, which is dedicated to you, we go out this following week, as we walk through life, let us always remember that we're made in your image. We should go out and act the way you would have us do so. Lord, always let us be mindful of what you said for us to do, is to go out and preach your gospel in whatever manner that we can do so to further your kingdom. Now take us, guide us, direct us, forgive us of our many sins. In Jesus' precious name, amen.